This is the Old Trailblazer broadcast. This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis, the Old Trailblazer, riding out on Old Dan again this morning, or this time, whatever time it is there where you are at night, early in the morning, late at night, riding Old Dan, blazing the path to the hearts of sinners. And this is the Old Trailblazer broadcast. We are bringing you a series of studies now on the revelation of Jesus Christ, and we're coming into your homes there, many of you, for the first time maybe. We've gone on some new stations, one there in Mount Airy, North Carolina, one there in Norfolk, Virginia, other places across the nation, and the Old Trailblazer, just an old country boy the Lord saved. Give me grace to be true to God's Word. So we're looking at revelations, the revelation of Jesus Christ, and we know, we understand that many folks shy away from this gracious book because they say they don't understand it. So we're taking our time, going real slowly. And I tell you, I've told you oftentimes, Pastor L.R. Shelton Sr. was the pastor, the late pastor here, many, many, many years ago. He was a great Bible teacher and scholar. And he brought these studies, I guess, 50 years ago on the Trailblaze, on the radio here. And on the revelation. And so the Lord laid them on my heart to go back and pick them up and glean out of his messages and glean out of his notes and outlines and then bring you, thus saith the Lord. So we're looking there now, have been in the last study or two, at the mercy of God manifested in the light of judgment. And we're there in the 7th chapter of Revelation. And we came down to that 13th verse in our last study. Let's look there and see what happened. In that 13th verse, one of the elders stepped up to John and said to him, "What are these which are arrayed in white robes? And whence cameth they?" And John said to him, "Sir, thou knowest." The elder then in that 14th verse said to John, "These are they which came out of the great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." Let me tell you, my dear listener, you out there who hear the Old Trailblazer, you here in New Orleans who hear us over WLNO, there in Cincinnati on WCKY, Little Rock, Arkansas, there in West Virginia, you folks who hear this broadcast, I don't care whether it was in the day of Adam or in the day of Noah, the day of Abraham or in Moses or in the day of the apostles. But listen, in our present day or in the day of the great tribulation period, salvation is by blood only, by blood, blood redemption in Christ. It was blood spilt there in the Garden of Eden that clothed Adam and Eve. Oh, my friend, in their new garments, in their new garments. We often hear folks attempt to tell what happened there, but I like to just maybe fantasize a little bit. Folks say I do that. But I like to think about when Adam and Eve disobeyed God and the glory of the Lord left them and they saw themselves as naked before they were covered with the glory of God. There was no shame there. There was nothing there to be ashamed of. But when they sinned, the glory departed from them. So they ran off down the road or in the bushes and began to sew some kind of leaves together to make them aprons. But when the Lord came, he said, "Where art thou, Adam? Where art thou?" And he said, "We are here. We were hiding because we were naked." So the Lord came there. And I believe in my own heart, with all of the emphasis of my soul, I believe the Lord showed them the plan of salvation, if you will. I don't like to say that word, plan, because the Lord knows all about those things. But the Lord, God of heaven, preached the first sermon that was ever preached. Because up until then, there was no sinners. There was no need for blood redemption. But he told them how that in the time to come, that his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, would come and be born of a virgin and live in this world and live on this earth for those years and then be crucified and hung on the cross there as a scapegoat, as a substitute for our sin. I believe that's what happened. And he said, up until that time comes, we shall have a blood sacrificial offering. And he taught them how to take the blood, kill the animals, unspotted animals, and catch the blood and put it on the altar. There we saw Cain and Abel, they taught them. They taught them how to build an altar and how to worship the Lord. And old Cain came there. Abel came first with his offering, an unspotted lamb. And he built the altar, slew the lamb, and the fire came down. The blood trickled down upon the wood. And then the fire came down and consumed that offering. Then here comes Cain, his brother. He brought of the fruit of the land. He had heard the plan. He had heard what the Lord had said. His mother and dad had taught him what was required. Blood was required. But no, he was like some of you. You wouldn't have that bloody religion. I have folks write me and tell me, "Old Trailblazer, I don't want your bloody religion. I made a decision for Jesus back there when I was 11 years old, and I know I'm saved." Well, my friend, I hope you are. I don't take issue with you. But listen, the Bible says make your calling and election sure. So there we see the blood is required. Now, Lee Scripture says what we just spoke of, that it doesn't matter. It's always took the blood. By blood redemption in Christ, it was blood spilt there in the Garden of Eden that clothed Adam and Eve. It was blood at the altar on the east gate of the garden that Abel accepted, that was accepted with God. It was blood yonder on Mount Moriah that saved Isaac. It was blood on the doorpost that protected the firstborn of the children of Israel in the land of Egypt. It was blood on the mercy seat within the veil that made an atonement for the children of Israel. It was blood on the burnt altar, the type of Christ that covered their sin. It was blood spilled there on Calvary's cross that atones for sinners. Oh, my friend, you know what that word atone means? It means a covering. It was blood on the throne of God in heaven that changed the throne of God from a judgment seat to a throne of grace, according to Hebrews 9:22. It is by the blood of Jesus that we have boldness to enter in to the holiest, and by the new and living way which He had opened for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh. It was the blood, it is the blood, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, that purges our conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Without the shedding of blood is no remission. Jehovah said, "When I see the blood, I will pass over you." Isn't that a gracious statement? Isn't that a gracious statement? Many years I wondered about that statement. In my ignorance, I didn't know. But I believe, and I've read and been taught, that on that night when the death angel came through the camp of Egypt there in Hebrews' children, about 6 million, some folks say, and they had been told to go inside and sprinkle the blood on the outside of the door, and the Lord said, "When I see the blood, I'll pass over you." Well, nighttime came, and the death angel came through the land. And every house where the blood was sprinkled up there, on the doorpost and up on the lintels and on the side post, I believe that the Lord Jesus Christ leaped over that door and took that blow. The death angel cast the blow. He gave the blow out. But the Lord protected us. He said, "When I see the blood, I'll pass over you." It is the blood on the altar that maketh an atonement for the soul, according to Leviticus 17:11. Brother, it's the blood spilled on Calvary's cross that redeemed poor sinners like you and like me. You can foo-foo the message. You can take issue with the old trailblazer. You can say whatever you want to, my friend. But one day, there's coming a day when you will rue the day that you turned your back upon the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. When you sought to have your own way. Do you know why folks are not saved? Because they want to have their own way. I tell my congregation here week after week, some of them not saved. The only reason you're not saved, you want your own way. You won't have God's way. You said, "My will, I'll have my will. Trailblazer, I'll do what I please." Well, you can do those things if the Lord allows you to do it. But my friend, you'll pay. There's a payday coming one day. Listen, what can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. For God commended His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, according to Romans 5:8. Then, being justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him, Romans 5:10. Then we are kept through the blood of the everlasting covenant, Hebrews 13:20. We are secured by the blood and then assured by the word. Did you catch that? Old Dr. Copeland used to preach here for us, and he had a little saying. He said, did you get that? Did you get that? It'd make you think. Well, the blood secures. The blood makes an atonement. The blood covers our sin. But the word assures us. You looking for assurance? God's word. God's word. But you may be looking for assurance before you're secured. Would you think about that, my friend? Then there's a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that blood, lose all their guilty stain. Brother, are you washed in the blood? Sister, are you sheltered beneath the blood? My friend, is your robe washed and made white in the blood of the Lamb? Will you one day stand at the portals of glory and sing the song of redemption, redeemed by the blood? No wonder Peter called it precious blood. Oh, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. I rather imagine that old John shouted when he stood there and saw the great number, which no man can number, having their robes washed in the blood of Christ. Listen, friend, I don't care what you believe. I don't care what kind of a doctrinitis you might have. I don't care if you speak in tongues. I don't care if you can prophesy. I don't care if you can hoorah and hoopaloo. Listen, I wouldn't give 2 cents for all that. But God's word says, unless your robe is washed in the blood of the Lamb, my friend, you'll never get to heaven. Only blood-bought, blood-redeemed, blood-washed sinners will ever get to heaven. Now, you can take issue with the old trailblazer. Turn it off and go on back to the dairy barn out there, wherever you are. But, my friend, I'm bringing you thus saith the Lord. Then in the 15th and 16th and 17th verses of that 7th chapter, we see the blessedness of that redeemed group. It says they will serve Him day and night, night and day in the temple. Yes, there's a temple in heaven, and our Lord Jesus Christ is our high priest in that temple. And He says, He that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. Won't that be glory? We sang a song here. Oh, won't that be glory? This will be glory throughout eternity, to behold a face, to have God dwell in our midst. And He further states, they shall hunger no more. No doubt they will starve to death, those He's speaking of. Neither thirst any more. And I'm sure that many of them had died in prisons of thirst. Neither shall the sun light on them any more. Listen, and as in the heat. As Christ's rejecters will be subject to severe judgments of God, these will escape because they are now in the presence of the Lamb. Listen, for the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and shall lead them under living fountains of water. Oh, if we could just go on. Our time is quickly running away. I wish I had more time. We'll pick it up in our next study there as we'll go into another phase of the ministry, the day of God's wrath. Don't that whet your appetite to know? I believe we ought to know, folks. I believe we ought to. I have folks tell me they don't even read the newspaper because they're so self-righteous and all, but I believe we need to know what's going on around us, and I think we ought to know what this book of Revelation says, don't you? I do. I do, my friend. Speaking about the newspaper, all the things that's going on now, would you pray for our president? Oh, you may not care for him, but would you pray for him? The scriptures tell us, pray for those that have the rule over us. And they have the rule over us, my friend, whether we like it or not. But this is the old trailblazer. We're going to keep on day by day, and we've gone on several new stations. I wish you'd help me with the broadcast. Some of them are $15, $20 for 15 minutes. Some of them are $100 for 15 or 20 minutes. So if you would help me with that, dig up the old coffee can and send me the $100 if you will. And I appreciate it. My mailing address is Radio Missions or the old Trailblazer, Post Office Box 6250, New Orleans, Louisiana 70174. Goodbye and God bless you.